We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the RotoViz College Football Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Stefan LeCoe, joined by my co-host, Matt Wispay. This podcast is being brought to you by Blue Wire, Indeed, and Bet Online. We are so excited that you are here. We have another great week of football to talk about. Well, actually, last week sucked as a Ducks fan. I don't even want to get into it. But Matt, how are you doing today?
Well, since as of right now, barring anything changing, it looks like Ohio State is going to play this weekend. Fingers crossed. We practiced already this week, and there was the whole talk of as long as we practice by Thursday. I'm happy now, I guess. I can't be complaining. Yay, I get to watch football and care this week.
Yeah, there you go. That's always nice. I've stopped caring because the world is a terrible place filled with darkness and depression. So, I was up watching that Ducks game, and man, I don't think many people are watching. It was one of the later games, and it's Pac-12. No one really seems to care all that much, but it was what used to be known as the Civil War. So Ducks, Beavers, Oregon State. And we had won like so many in a row. It's not even a rivalry anymore. And then we were up fairly comfortably, and then man, just could not stop the run at all. And the Beavers just rolled. They ended up winning on like a quarterback sneak from like the inch line. And there was only like 17 seconds left or something like that. And obviously not enough time to do anything about it. So the Ducks lose and I was depressed. And we know it's college football time when, you know, like four games into the season, my team's already out of it.
That's always fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like I can say some stuff that about them. I don't think your team is as bad as you think. I think you believe that you have this like god awful rush defense that is basically in the equivalent to like
Seattle's Ohio, pass defense
or like Ohio State's pass defense or Oklahoma in recent years. I think you went against Jerbar. Like, I think realistically, the one thing that should have been the takeaway for everyone who watched college football, particularly Devy watchers, Jermar Jefferson is dope. Jermar Jefferson is a legitimate talent. We're talking about a dude who, I now feel obligated to actually do some work and like pull up. Like, 2018, rushed for 1,300 yards and 12 touchdowns as a true freshman with 25 receptions for 147. Last year, which I think he was dinged up, he definitely didn't like play a full year. 685 yards and 8 touchdowns. And this year, we're talking about now in 4 games, he's almost eclipsed what he did in 2019 already.
Right.
675 yards, averaging 7.4 carry, has 7 touchdowns and has 8 receptions. I mean,
he's balling out.
This is a dude that I think every single person who does Devy ranks needs to do a reevaluation of where they have him, because if you're not talking about him right now as a top 48 asset, so basically top 4 rounds worth of players, I think you're doing it wrong. Because right. I mean, even if he doesn't come out this year, even if he waits and goes out another year, like has another year worth of playing, 2022 isn't good. Isn't there a chance that he's a top 5 running back in either 2021 or 2022?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he's got like 83% of Oregon State's running back touches as far as running the ball, like rushes. I mean, he's just a force, and he's just impressive. He had an 82-yard or 87-yard, something like that, like breakaway touchdown early on in that game. And he is just fast. He knows how to set linebackers up so that they take bad angles. And he's shifty, big, and fast. You know, like when you watch him play, he definitely looks special.
Yeah, I think while it is easy to come away from losing a rivalry game sitting here and focusing on the fact that a running back torched you, I think the takeaway should be, hey, that running back is awesome. And yeah, maybe this wasn't our year to compete at a super high level, but you know, I still think you are probably the second or third best team in the Pac-12. And that's not really a terrible thing.
Well, I still think we might be the best, like maybe not record wise when it's all said and done, but I still think we're the best team in the Pac-12 right now, because none of the teams right now look all that impressive or complete. I think for me, we've already talked way too much. Everyone's already tuned out, turned off the podcast because no one cares about the Pac-12 and especially the Ducks. But they're gonna be set up for a good season next year. We just have so much youth on the team. Anyway, let's move on. We've got a great show for you guys today. We already did some of our can we talk about stuff here. We're gonna jump into the news and the notes, and of course, we're gonna look back at last week, go through our locks. Talk about some of the games we picked, and then we'll move on to the future, go through some of the big games of the weekend, and of course, finish it up with our locks of the week. But before we do all of that, let's do the notes and the news and notes. Like we talked about, the big story from last weekend, Penix tore his ACL, I believe. I know he's out for the year. So Indiana without their starting quarterback, who has been really special so far this year. And they're going to be handing the reins over to a sophomore, a former four-star recruit, Jack Tuttle. He went 5 for 5 last week for 34 yards. We didn't really get to see a whole lot, but he's taken over now for Indiana. And you got to think this is just really disappointing for this team, because they've been playing so well. They've been getting some big wins, and now they're going to have to try to do it with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana was, I mean, I don't know that they were necessarily this great team. I think they had their own issues, but they were sure fun. And Michael Penix was at the center of that fun, because he, despite the fact that his line didn't always hold up for him, he made a lot of plays. So definitely a guy that they're going to miss.
Yeah, it's a shame. But there's, you know, there's opportunity there still, and it'll be interesting to see what they can do. They still have a lot of talent on that team. I'm curious how it will roll. I don't think anyone really thought they were going to win the Big Ten anyway. But it's definitely going to be a lot more difficult now. You mentioned earlier that Ohio State looks to be on track to play. Unfortunately, we do have some canceled games, not as many as this time last week. Right now, we're looking like we're going to miss out on Southern Miss, UTEP, Northwestern, Minnesota, man, they just can't get out on the field right now. Might be best for them, actually.
I think they're done for the year.
I don't think like
they might be done
up at all this year. Looks like Maryland, Michigan, FIU, Charlotte. Am I missing anything?
Those are the ones that quickly, I mean, looking at it, those are the ones that are on ESPN that are currently listed as canceled.
Oh, and Kent State, Miami of Ohio is also out.
Don't forget about the MAC.
I know.
You jerk.
Well, I mean, let's talk about, speaking of some small ball football, let's talk a little bit about Buffalo, shall we?
So this will preview one of my major losses on this weekend in locks. Buffalo is the team in the MAC. There shouldn't be a question about this. They're going to run away and hide with the MAC. And Lance Leopold is going to get really, really good job offers this offseason. If Michigan can't get Matt Campbell or Luke Fickle or Marcus Freeman, and by the way, I'm not even necessarily saying that those guys are definitely ahead of Lance Leopold, but Lance Leopold should be on that list with them. That's how good a coach he is. He's won at basically every level. Yeah, but the story of that game, I mean, so there's this running back on this team, Jarrett Patterson. I guess you could say he had a good game.
Oh my God.
What was it?
He had a good season.
Yeah, I think he had 405 yards and 8 touchdowns. His backup went over 100 yards and had a touchdown. Bonkers. I mean,
yeah, so close to setting the rushing record, which was, well, a shame that he didn't get to
stay in. Did you hear the story
that
basically his coach didn't know what the record was, and that was why? It just silly season out there. And you knew right away, because I think in his first 4 touches, he had like 200 yards. It was silly season. They were not tackling him. It was like watching Derrick Henry in December. Like, no one seemed to want to tackle that guy. Yeah, I mean, just there. That's all you have to say. The one thing that I will say is I'm really happy he wasn't on the DFS slate of games for that weekend. If you're a DraftKings player, he was he would have broken it. It would have been one of those weeks where he straight up broke the system. So if you are a DFS player sitting there going, "Dang, I would have played him," yeah. And if you didn't play him, then your lineup would have been immediately losing.
Yep, it wouldn't have mattered. Absolutely. Oh, it was just crazy. It was fun. I ended up tuning into some of that at the end just because I had to see what was going to happen. And
I don't necessarily think he has a chance to be a high draft pick. So no one do the thing we always do, which is overreact to a huge game and turn a guy into being something special when he isn't. He's a really, really good player. He will get drafted. It will be on day 3. So like, just don't turn him into Kareem Hunt, Kareem Hunt was a MAC guy who got drafted in the 3rd round and look how great he is. Patterson is seen as relatively undersized and is super productive, but he's not going to be at that level. Or if he does, I'll be really shocked. I'm not going to say I'll do anything silly, but
He's 5'9", 195.
Yeah.
But yeah, good for him though. Super fun. And Buffalo is probably a team that people should be, low key interested in just because they're a heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about before we give our attention over to some of our sponsors?
I think the thing we kind of haven't talked about a ton this season is, I mean, college football playoff rankings have come out again this week. The key things to kind of pay attention to if you're really curious about the playoff is top 4 stayed the same: Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State, and then Texas A&M and Florida. I think they flipped. No, they were where they were at. And then Cincinnati at 7. Those are really the only team. I mean, realistically, there are 6 teams that have a chance to make the playoff at this point. If you're an Ohio State fan, there's a nightmare scenario where Clemson beats Notre Dame close, Alabama loses to Florida. There's your top 4. If you are hoping for Cincinnati to somehow sneak in, which I think honestly a lot of us would love to see, the only scenario that gets you there is Alabama wins big, Notre Dame wins big, Ohio State slips up, Auburn knocks off or at that point, you may not need Auburn to knock off Texas A&M, but it would help.
Auburn's not going to do that. No. But yes, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, no, the playoff's always interesting. I'm so curious just to see what's going to happen if some teams only have, you know, like 5-0 Big Ten team, not to be named or not to jinx anything, but how would that fare against a team like Clemson, who might have one or maybe even two losses?
Are we competing against Clemson? I guess that's what,
I don't know.
My real question is I, like I said, I think the only outcome that leads to Ohio State going out is if Florida beats Alabama. That's the trigger here, is Florida has to beat Alabama and Clemson has to beat Notre Dame, because I think Notre Dame's pretty close to a lock to be in at this point. I think
right.
The most likely scenario is that Notre Dame and Clemson both make it into the playoff. If we think Alabama is as good as they are, Alabama's going to get in. So really, our the competition, if you are looking at that final spot, is Ohio State versus Texas A&M, Ohio State versus Cincinnati. I mean, it's those three teams. And yeah, sure. I get it. The records are different. And I think we all kind of knew that coming into this year, this was going to be the one year where any precedents that were set in like earlier seasons were going to go out the window, because, I mean, if you're the playoff committee, aren't you desperately hoping these top four teams hold?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, and I think that's how that's going to play out. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist who's going to tell you that the playoff committee really, really is just going to let TV ratings drive all this. But you want the potential for the best four teams. And while you think A&M and Florida are both awesome teams and their resumes are just objectively better than Ohio State's right now, if Florida loses to Alabama, you don't want to see that potential for that game to happen again. We don't want a situation where we're just having a team lose in the SEC championship and just instantly get in. Or Texas A&M, I mean, their claim to fame is kind of the fact that they beat Florida. So I don't think anyone's really clamoring to see that. So it's a unique year, and I think it's just going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And we still have some time before we have to worry about it all. I imagine a lot of it will work itself out between now and then anyway, as Coastal Carolina just continues to beat everyone, go undefeated, and end up winning the national championship this year. As we will all no doubt be excited for. No, just kidding. Let us take a minute to hear from one of our great sponsors, Indeed, who are just absolutely killing it when it comes to hiring people. The last few months have been difficult for businesses. Everyone around the world has been challenged to keep up with the needs, both from a hiring and also just a workforce environment. So Indeed can help you be efficient and hire the right people. They are the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person that you need to keep your business going. And right now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visit Indeed each month, according to ComScore's total visits. So it's clear that Indeed can help you get the quality hire that you need. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is the best offer anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer is valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. Let us get into the recap. Take it away, Matt. This was kind of an up and down week. You did really well in the regular games. Your locks got a little bit unlucky. I was kind of the opposite, kind of a middling
unlucky on the regular. But I didn't really get unlucky. I had like four complete and utter tragedy picks here. So starting with my wins, my fuck you pick of the week of App State over Troy at -13.5. They covered that, or they won that game by 37. That was great. My kind of with my heart, but also with my chest pick here of Penn State plus 2.5 against Michigan. They end up outright winning that game 27-17, lost Ohio State minus 14.5 in the first half against Illinois to COVID. So that's a bummer because that might help salvage my seat or my week. And now we get into the part of the board where I did terrible. So I had Kent State at plus 7 against Buffalo. I actually said there was a chance that I liked the money line in this game. Yeah, Jarrett Patterson. That sucked. 70-41, Buffalo. Georgia Tech and Duke. This was my article pick. Under 58, I was confident that two incompetent offenses that had okay defenses would be able to keep the scoring down. That game got to 89 points. Super.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I did have the like super smelly but super fun Northwestern Michigan State under 41.5. Yeah, it got to 49. That's the risk you take when you have these ones. Honestly, I was pretty disappointed in Northwestern's defense because Michigan State scored a lot of points early, and I kind of knew that game was a wash once Michigan State got up early. Happens. Notre Dame team total over 36.5. They only got to 31. I don't feel terrible about this pick. I still think looking at it, I wasn't on the right side. The scoring definitely wasn't happening in a hurry. It was just one of those ones where they missed out on a couple opportunities. I felt like this one could have gone either way. But my takeaway from this one, my learning from it is that Notre Dame's running style of offense is not one that you should be regularly betting the over on. So note taken. Next time, just pick a side.
No, that's a really good point because my one loss this week was the over in that very game. I was bullish that UNC would be able to keep up with Notre Dame. I still took Notre Dame minus 4.5, as you all remember. This was my, one of my double dips, but it did not turn out great. They did not do near as much scoring as I hoped. North Carolina just could not move the ball in the second half at all. Notre Dame's defense just shut them down, but we can talk more about that game in a little bit. I went 6-1 this week, so I had a pretty good week. I kind of cheated a little bit, taking some pretty terrible teams. Well, not taking them, but betting against them. So I took TCU minus 24 at Kansas. That was awesome. And UMass at Liberty. I took Liberty minus 37.5. Those were both slam dunks. It was really funny. At halftime, it was like 31-0. And so I texted one of my good buddies. We do a lot of betting together. And I was like, dude, this Liberty game, you need to check the line. At halftime, the over-under it moved to 44.5. And I was like, there's no way that Liberty doesn't score. I think it was, they just needed like two touchdowns or something. It's like, there's no way that this doesn't happen. And so he put in his bet, but he accidentally hit one too many zeros. So he bet it much bigger than he intended to. And the game ended at 45, and we had it at 44.5. So we were sweating it pretty hardcore at the end there, but Liberty prevailed. And it feels dirty rooting for Liberty. We were talking about this before. We're not huge fans of the institution itself. Sorry for all you Liberty grads. But anyway, I'll move on. I was also on
school.
Yeah. Ohio State minus 27.5. That game against Illinois got canceled. So I lost out on that opportunity. I had Alabama minus 24.5 at Auburn. That's just like my money pick. Let's just go ahead and roll with Alabama every week. I was on the under in the Washington-Utah game. That one hit. The total only got up to 45. I took it at 49.5. And then Iowa State plus 1.5 at Texas. They ended up winning outright. That was beautiful. We mentioned that as a potential upset pick for you guys as well. And then finally, Colorado at USC was canceled. I was happy to see Colorado still play, but they unfortunately weren't on my card because that happened after the fact. Our upsets, we got North Texas and Duke wrong, Kansas State wrong, but we were on Iowa State. So, we continue to give you one good upset a week. So I think that's pretty good. You did really well on the regular slate of games. Let's go through some of these, talk about them a little bit. First one up, probably one of the bigger games of the weekend. We already talked about a little bit. Notre Dame 31 at North Carolina 17. We both were on Notre Dame to cover the 4.5, and they did. Talk to me a little bit about this game. What do you think this means for Notre Dame? Kind of were up and down on them earlier this year. Early on, I had them as maybe a potential playoff team, and then we both changed our mind on them when their offense just could not do anything explosive. Where do you think they are now? Do you think they're a legit contender for national championship?
I mean, they're going to be one of the top four, so yes. if you can get them better than probably 3.5 to 1 to win the national championship, I would say there's value there. but with that being said, I don't think this team beats Alabama. I think this team will lose to Clemson again. And I don't know if they have the horses to beat Ohio State. It's tough to say. Like, I know Vegas has put out odds, like theoretical odds for a lot of these games. And I know Notre Dame is an underdog to Ohio State, who is in theory the fourth team getting into this group. So I think they're really good. I think they have a chance. I think Ian Book has taken a step forward as a quarterback. But their wide receivers just aren't really good enough to exploit anything. There are some that are fine, but there aren't any that are amazing. And I mean, the fact that I put as a player to watch this week, a freshman tight end who got 54 yards in this game of the, now I have of the 279 yards passing, 54 of it went to a true freshman. I mean, it's just, I don't think it says a lot about him. I think this team is still going to be the team that tries to beat you with Kyren Williams and really hopes he breaks off a 60-yard touchdown run. They're really good. I feel like I'm knocking them. I genuinely think they're probably the fourth best team in the country. It's just a matter of I don't necessarily think they're the best team in the country, and that's going to make Notre Dame fans angry at me.
No, I feel you. I mean, they were just absolutely dominant in the second half. It was 14-14 after the first quarter, and UNC only managed to score another field goal after that. It was a pretty dominating performance. You look at the guy I was watching, Javonte Williams, he was not able to do anything. He had 11 carries for 28 yards, and you think, well, maybe Carter got going. No, he only had 57 yards. Now he did it on 8 attempts, so he was a little bit more efficient, but most of that came, or half of that came on one long run. So they just weren't able to do very much against this defensive front for Notre Dame. They were really shut down. Sam Howell struggled. I'll say again, I'm still waiting to be impressed by Sam Howell, if I'm honest. He's had a couple big games, like against Wake Forest, but that's against Wake Forest. So I'm a little bit disappointed in what UNC did. Of course, I was happy to get the lock win with Notre Dame, but I did think the offense would be able to put up a little bit more of a fight.
And just continue to, I feel like I have to point this out every time we say negative things about Sam Howell. His completion percentage is up 6 points this year, and his average yards per attempt is up by a yard and a half. The issue is he last year just scored a kind of an absurd amount of touchdowns, and he developed the fourth quarter Sam Howell moniker.
Right.
And he was like just dubbed a winner. Statistically, he is doing better than he was last year. It is just the team has a really bad defense, and it's getting exploited. So for as much as I want to rag on Sam Howell, and I don't think he's my QB1 of 2022 anymore either, we do need to at least take a step back and acknowledge he's still doing really well.
Yeah, and it's probably my expectations were maybe a little bit too high, or maybe my hopes were a little bit too high. Let's move on to a game that I didn't watch any of, unfortunately. Penn State at Michigan. This game, I mean, for obvious reasons, I wasn't all that interested. They were combined at the time for two wins, so not really anything to need to watch. But Penn State ends up winning 27-17. I was on the wrong side of this one. You got this one right. I think you had Penn State, of course, as one of your locks. So why were you so confident in them, and what did they show you? Do you think they maybe turned a corner, or is this kind of a win, yes, but a lost season nonetheless?
It's a lost season. Don't take anything more than it is a lost season. Right now, they're mostly fighting a will they quit mentality on this. That is, this team should have beat Indiana. Again, they had a post-game win expectancy over 90% against Indiana, who we've talked about a couple of times. Indiana's pretty good. They actually gave a decent fight against Ohio State. I can't remember who their other loss was too, but like the Iowa loss, that was the only one where that team just flat out quit. So my reasoning for being bullish was I looked at this team and said, Michigan has some pretty clear flaws. They really struggle. If you get to the 40 yard line, if you get to Michigan's 40 yard line, you are coming away with points. They do not get teams off the field in that spot, and they allow more than 4.5 points, which means about half the time when you get to the 40-yard line, you're coming away with a touchdown. So I was really just, I looked at that one and said, this is a spot where Penn State is the better team on the field, and it probably should be a pick 'em. And I was getting 2.5 points. And the one thing I will point out is, right before the game, it got announced that Devin Ford was out, which allowed them to go to Kayvon Lee, who is a guy that I've mentioned a couple of times this year.
No, he was your highlighted player for this game.
He was, in fact, my player to watch. I think he's potentially special. I think he is the... I don't think anyone that we have talked about in the last few years, Devin Ford, obviously not Journey Brown, but Devin Ford, Noah Kane, I don't think those guys are the next running back in the system. I think it is Kayvon Lee. He went 22 for 134 and a touchdown. I mean, he's really good. And Michigan's defense was as bad as I thought it would be. And this game, honestly, could have been worse. They had, I think it was an interception or a, no, they had a really bad missed field goal. And it like inside, it was just, it wasn't a good game. I watched all of this game because my wife is a Penn State fan. So this is the one like football game that she actually sat in the room with me. It was kind of nice. So, I watched it and it was exactly what I was wanting to see. Michigan's defense has major flaws. Penn State's offense was underrated. Sean Clifford wasn't trash, wasn't giving away the game, and they won.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit more about Kayvon Lee. He is a freshman, 6'2", 220, hails from the great state of Florida. A lot of good running backs from there. Do you think he's someone that we should be paying a lot more attention to? Is this someone that you would possibly trade for if you're in a deeper league where he was already?
If he's already been drafted in your league, send out an offer next week. Like, don't do it after his blow up game, after everyone knows about him. But like, if Devin Ford comes back this week and all of a sudden they're splitting reps, or him and Keziah Holmes are in a little more of a split, then send out an offer. I think he has the potential to be the next Todd Gurley. And I know that sounds like an insult.
No.
But Todd Gurley was a freak. And yes, I think he is that special. I don't think he's going to be this receiving back, but I think he's going to be a bowling ball. And I think that a team will fall in love with what they see from him on film. And I believe he's going to be a pretty solid athlete as well. If Penn State realizes this and makes him the feature, we are talking about a guy that is going to be a 14 to 1500 yard rusher in college football. And I think that, I mean, if you're telling me that in this, the only issue you have with him is that the class of 2023 might be loaded at running back. But honestly, I would take him ahead of everyone except for Bijan Robinson, Tank Bigsby. I'm trying to think.
That might be it.
Those are the only two I can't. Like, I probably.
Trey Sanders? No, I guess he's a year ahead.
He's a year ahead. But I mean, maybe the only one I can think of that I mean, the guy, Diamante Trainum, I probably still take ahead of him out of Arizona State. And I think that's it. I really think those are the only guys that I'm confidently taking ahead of him.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's fair. Let's move on to the Alabama game. We have Auburn at Alabama. Man, Auburn got just blasted in their big rivalry game, 13 to 42. We are both on the right side of this. Player I was watching was Tank Bigsby, who you just mentioned. I wanted to see what he could do. It feels like it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about how maybe Alabama's defense might be a problem for them. And they have just been shutting down teams. Tank Bigsby only went 11 for 39. Just an impressive all-around performance for Alabama. And I still continue. I know Clemson came out and had a big win. Notre Dame took care of business. But I still think Alabama is just head and shoulders above everyone else right now. I know that you'll like to bring up Ohio State. I just haven't seen them play as much, obviously. So it's a little bit hard to include them in that sentence. But Alabama, for my money, they're the team to beat right now in all of college football.
Yeah, I'm a homer beyond all homers. And I will tell you that Alabama is confidently the best team in the country. You know when else they were confidently the best team in the country? 2014.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, my quick notes on this game is, one, Mac Jones is still awesome. Two, really it's Devonta Smith. Everyone needs to pay more attention to how good he really is. This dude's going to be an early first round pick. If Devonta Smith is not in your top three receivers for next year's class, you probably have it in the wrong order. I think he's special. I think he's really, really good. And I think an NFL team will love him. So, yeah. And I just have one little anecdote about this game because it makes me giggle. I had in my day job, I had a co-op who worked in my office who went to Auburn. She claims to be a big Auburn fan. Text me after the game. Oh, man, didn't you see big win for the good guys today?
And oh, no.
I sent that because she was at a wine tasting all day, or she was at a winery tour or something like that. So I sent her the score and said, I feel like you're looking at last year's results.
Nah.
And she then spent the rest of the day in a bad mood. So
that's hilarious.
It was great.
That is fantastic. Yeah. Devonta Smith is just, to your point, balling out. I mean, so Alabama's played 8 games, if I'm not mistaken, and he's got 72 receptions, 1,074 yards, and 12 touchdowns. So I know you can't do this because it's a different game, but like, just think about like if a wide receiver in the NFL in a season put up 145 catches with 2,100 yards and 24 touchdowns, because that's the pace you'd be on for a 16 game season. Like, Devonta Smith is doing ridiculous things. And I get that, you know, Trask and Jones are doing fun stuff at the quarterback position. But to me, like, Devonta Smith's my Heisman winner at the moment, man. He is just balling out. Am I crazy? Am I being foolish here? I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but don't you think he's deserving?
If a wide receiver is deserving, it's Devonta Smith.
Oh, stop it.
No, and I honestly, I say this, like, I don't mean to, like, I think he is a bigger difference maker to the game than Mac Jones. So I would say he should be above Mac Jones. I don't know if I can actually put him above Kyle Trask. I want to, because I don't think Kyle Trask is good, but Kyle Trask is putting up video game numbers in his own right, and he has done it without his best receiver for quite a bit of the season. So yes, I think Devonta Smith is awesome. Yes, I think he might be the best player in the country, but I think the most outstanding player, whatever the stupid wording of the award is probably Kyle Trask.
Yeah. So Devonta Smith for me, just so you know, Colorado at, yeah, caller, I should caller. I will. Colorado at USC was canceled. I do just want to take a minute to say Colorado looked good in their win again. Again, I live about 20 minutes from Boulder. So, you know, whenever I can talk about my Buffs, I also went to school there. I got to. So they got San Diego State on the schedule. They ended up winning 10-20. Good game. Nothing spectacular. This Sam Neuer kid, ex-free safety, now quarterback for CU, keeps getting the job done. But I really like Jarek Broussard, sophomore running back. He's a smaller guy, but he has just had great success so far. He's already got 430 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had 124 on the game. He's doing really well, but that was on the game we previewed. I just wanted to talk about Broussard because he looks good so far. So I'm excited about him. Let's move on to another Pac-12 game that did get played. This one, of course, was scheduled. I think we talked about this one. We realized the scheduling during the podcast, and that was Utah at Washington. Game ended 21-24. We got this one wrong. We were both on Washington, -6.5. They ended up squeaking out a win by 3. This game was actually, for a long time, looked like a real troubling spot for the Huskies. They were down 21-0 at halftime and came back to win it at the very end of the game with Ottens. I think he had 2 touchdowns on the day, and that was his second touchdown. He was a player you were watching. He ended up going for over 100 on 8 catches, 2 touchdowns. But man, this Washington offense, I don't know if you watched much of this game, but they really, really struggle to move the ball.
This game was on past my bedtime. I did not watch it. I don't think this Washington offense is very good. If you're looking for hope for any player who may eventually become a dynasty player, it's Puka Nacua. He's the only one. That's it. And even he's not special.
Yeah, it really was kind of a difficult game to watch, if I'm honest. But it's still fun. It's still,
but it hit the under.
Yes, and that's why it's a beautiful thing.
Unders are terrible to root for, by the way. I really do find it difficult. If you're looking from a more holistic side, not just from fantasy football, Elijah Molden, cornerback for Washington. We mentioned him last week on the pod. He is absolutely a stud. He had an interception on the game, 8 tackles, but the dude just loves to hit. He is going to be a guy to just to remember. He's definitely going to be in the NFL before too long. So Elijah Molden for Washington is a fun player to watch. Before we jump into our Week 14 preview, let's just take a quick second to pause and hear from our colleagues over at RotoViz.
What's up, listeners? This is Curtis Patrick. I just wanted to stop by and say thank you for supporting RotoViz Radio. You are the absolute best audience in the business, and I know it. As a special thank you, I'm offering 10% off your next RotoViz subscription. Just use code 2020RVRadio at checkout. That's right. Go to rotoviz.com, click subscribe, and enter code 2020RVRadio at checkout for 10% off. You can even extend your subscription. Oh, and one more thing. If you haven't ever done it, please rate and review the podcast you're listening to right now on Apple Podcasts. It's really easy. It only takes like 10, 15 seconds. Just do it. We'd love to hear your feedback. Now, back to the show.
All right, we are back. Let's get into the Week 14 preview. First game on the docket, team you mentioned earlier that needs to come out and continue to win if they want to have a chance. That's Texas A&M traveling to Auburn. Auburn is getting 7 points here. How do you see this one shaking out? Do you think Texas A&M can win by more than 7? I have a feeling you do.
Yeah, I do. Auburn sucks. Auburn should be like 2-5.
What are we missing about this number then? Because I'm with you. I'm all over Texas A&M here. I don't know why the number's so small.
Seems wrong. I think short answer is it seems wrong. I think Texas A&M is pretty good. I think people are overrating this Auburn defense, thinking that magically they're last year's defense. Maybe there's some COVID issues that we don't fully know about and that Vegas is bank building into this. Short answer, no. I this game won't be close. I think A&M wins it by, I honestly would say, 3 touchdowns. I will be watching Aeneas Smith. He is probably my favorite player on Texas A&M, which is not that hard to say because I don't really care about Texas A&M very much, but he is their leading receiver and their second leading rusher on the team. I can't see a way this dude doesn't make it to the NFL and doesn't have some role on a team offense. I think he is too much of a Swiss Army knife to not get that role somewhere. For fantasy, I don't think it will ever matter, but I do think that someone will put him on an NFL roster and they will have fun with him.
Yeah, no, he's a fun guy. To your point about Auburn's defense, yeah, I just pulled up their rankings. They're not special anywhere. They're 83rd in passing yards allowed, 68th in rushing yards allowed. So they're not doing anything really well. They're barely inside the top 40 in total points allowed. So they're definitely not a defense to be nervous about. So I'm totally with you there. I think Texas A&M is able to do quite a bit. And you all know I'm not a huge believer in Texas A&M. I still kind of think Kellen Mond is overrated. Now, he is having a much better year this year. He's really taking care of his interception problems. The player I'm watching, though, is Isaiah Spiller. You've talked about how the difference between him in a good matchup versus a bad matchup is pretty stark. So I'm curious to see what he's able to do against this Auburn defense that, like we've said, isn't special. He's almost at 800 yards on the season. I don't think he's going to get to 1,000 in this game, but I think he'll get a lot closer because I think he's going to be able to have a big game against this Auburn defense. So yeah, I feel pretty confident with Texas A&M covering that 7 points. Let's move on to a low key, super exciting game. I think game day is heading to this one. We got Liberty at Coastal Carolina. Again, the line is 7. The home team is favored in this one. What do you think, man? This is going to be a fun game. I actually haven't watched Coastal Carolina like a full on game of theirs yet. I've just seen highlights. I'm going to tune into this one because this is just too much fun.
Never bet against Hugh Freeze unless you're his spouse or
oh Jesus,
or man. Someone who thinks he's a good person. Liberty's going to win this game. Or I think Liberty outrights this game. Maybe not outrights. They're going to keep it within 7, and Malik Willis is going to play very well, and Hugh Freeze is a garbage person.
Oh, I can't disagree with anything, actually. I agree with all of that. I'm also on Liberty. However, the player I want to watch here is Coastal Carolina's quarterback. He's a true freshman. Actually, I don't know if he's a true freshman. He's a freshman, though. Grayson McCall. He is balling out. He has a 20-1 touchdown interception ratio. He's also got 5 rushing touchdowns, 74 carries for 365. He's having a really, really good year. This is going to be a super fun game. I'm excited to watch these offenses go up against each other. It'll be a fun one. I think Liberty is able to keep it pretty close, but I think Coastal Carolina does squeak it out. So I think we pretty much agree on everything, including your Hugh Freeze takes and just the institution of Liberty in general. Let's move on to the Big Ten. We've got Indiana at Wisconsin. We are on different sides. We were having a little bit of a discussion about this one before we hit record here, and you feel so confident about Wisconsin. So I am going to let you go and explain to everyone why they should put their mortgage down on Wisconsin right here. The line is 14.5.
So we mentioned earlier Michael Penix is out in this game. I don't think Jack Tuttle is bad, but he now has 16, or after last week's game, he has 16 career pass attempts at the college level. So, okay. If you're going up against a Rutgers or you're going up against a Purdue or some middling, nothing special kind of team, fine. I think Jack Tuttle could come in there and run a fine offense to keep them in that game. Here's the issue. They're going up against the best defense in the country right now. Their sample size is small, but whatever. They have the best defensive success rate allowed. They only allow 1.9 points per opportunity, and they create havoc on 20.6 plays per game, or 20.6% of the plays. They're really, really good on defense. So now pretty much throw out all of Indiana's offensive numbers, because realistically we have no idea what they're going to look like with a new QB under center, because Michael Penix did so much to keep them alive. But they only create 2.15 line yards per attempt. They get stuffed on a little over 20% of their rush attempts, and their rushing success rate on the year is only 34.9%. So you're saying that this rushing attack of Indiana is going to be able to go in here and do anything against Wisconsin? I don't see it happening. I think Wisconsin has just enough firepower to put up like somewhere between 28 and 35 points. And I don't know how Indiana is going to be able to keep up in this game. I actually would feel pretty confident in this number all the way up to like 17, potentially 17.5. I am not that scared of this Indiana team. And I think that they should. I don't see a path to them scoring enough to make this a competitive game. By the way, I'll be watching Jalen Berger, because Wisconsin, despite the fact that Graham Mertz gets all the hype and all the love, Wisconsin still runs the ball on almost 63% of their offensive plays. Their offensive success rate running the ball is on 53.7, and their offensive line is still among the best at creating yards. They create 3.4 yards per attempt. This is a running team that just happens to have a quarterback that doesn't suck.
Yeah, they actually average more rushing yards a game than passing yards, so that's definitely true. I think the reason I was leaning Indy, and I'm definitely that this will not be on my locks, just so you know. And I think you put forth a very compelling case. I still lean Indiana, but only if I'm getting 2+ touchdowns. You know, if it drops back, like I think the line started at 12.5 earlier in the week. I have no interest in it there, but the 2 touchdowns and a hook, I feel a little bit better with, just because I think Indiana's defense will be able to slow down Wisconsin. I don't think this is going to be much of a game as far as competitive wise, but I think Indiana is able to keep it close. I'm watching Jack Tuttle this week. I want to see what he can do, filling in for Penix, as you said. I'm not sure if he's competent. We'll have to wait and see. We just haven't seen enough from him, but I think Indiana's able to keep it close. It's going to be tough. To your point, I think this one could end up in a route. If Indiana gets down early and they have to just rely on throwing the ball, it could be bad. But I think they keep it close long enough that they're able to keep it within that 14 and a half. One of the games I'm excited to watch just because it's going to be absolute fireworks is Alabama at LSU. LSU plus 29.5. Huge number considering LSU is the defending national champion. It just doesn't seem to matter. Where are you on this one?
Alabama. Short answer. Always yep. trust in Alabama. I think we saw a couple of flashes this year where LSU looked, I don't want to say good, but they looked competent-ish. And I don't trust them at all. I think that's it's about as far as I'm going with this, is I don't really trust them. So
yeah. I'm not sure on this one just because that's a big number. And that's just a hard one to tell. I've been taking Alabama blindly but they've given us reason to just circle them on your card every week and roll forward with them. So I'm picking Bama again. This is going to be one of the few weeks I don't lock them up just because that number does feel pretty high. But again, if I was going to bet this one, it'd be Bama. I'm curious to see what Metchie can do. We've already talked about Devonta, how awesome he is. I'm kind of excited watching other receivers in that offense get rolling as well. So we'll see what's left over for him after Smith gets his two or three touchdowns. But Metchie's the guy I'm interested in seeing in this one. Let's move on to the last game before we get to our locks, and that's a Baylor at Oklahoma. Another pretty big line here. Oklahoma at home, favored by 22.5. Baylor's really struggled this year. I kind of hoped they would be something good. I was hoping Charlie Brewer would take that next step this year, and man, Baylor's just been struggling. So where are you in this one? Who do you want to see kind of break out this week? I'm looking at the
you just see who
the
I have
show and doc, you know, and I can see you have. So I'm assuming you're hoping for a breakout this week.
So as I'm gonna keep picking until he's the number one wide receiver on that team, I want to watch Jaden Hazelwood because I think he's awesome and I think he has really high upside and he's now healthy. I'm taking Oklahoma because right now Oklahoma is playing better than most teams. I actually think if I were to, on a neutral field, I would make them favorites against any team not named Alabama. Yeah, I think they're really, really, really good, and I think they're going to be able to score however much they want.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. I think one of the difficulties about college football is that the beginning of the season, a loss in the beginning season can almost be weighted as much as a loss at the end of the year. That's not always true, but those two losses Oklahoma suffered early, especially like back-to-back and the way it happened, really put them in a tough, tough spot to come back and have a chance for the playoffs, especially when you consider their playoff history. But if you look at what Spencer Rattler has done and what this offense has done recently, so in the first four games, Spencer Rattler had thrown five interceptions. He was turning the ball over all the time, just really, really unfortunate plays that were costing them games. In all reality, they were at crucial moments. I'm thinking specifically in that Kansas State game. But in his last four, he's only thrown one pick. He's really been dynamic. Their offense has just been in cruise control. Like you said, they can do just about anything. And I do agree with you. I think on a neutral field right now, this Oklahoma team would put up a fight against anyone. And so it's kind of a shame that they started off with those losses like they did. But I'm with you. I'm on OU here. I think they have a pretty comfortable win here. And again, I mean, they're not technically out of it yet. There's scenarios where they could maybe see themselves in the playoffs, so they still have a lot to play for. And they're a young team, and I think they want to just keep this offense clicking. But OU looks really good, so I'm going to stick with them. I know you love one of your favorite things to look at is an Oklahoma home over. I know it didn't hit last time you took it. Is that something that that you might be interested in this week?
Let me look at the number. I haven't actually looked at that one. Realistically,
I'm sure not small.
Oklahoma doesn't make it easy to get overs, but let me.
Well, the problem with Oklahoma is not their side of it. It's that the other team has to score a bunch too, and their defense has been playing a little bit better. The over-under is set at 62.5 from what I can tell. Look at that. Well, think about it. But
maybe you'll hear it again. I haven't actually thought about it.
The last week, 13 points. Week before that, 9 points, 28 points, 14 points. They have not. Their defense has been playing really, really well. They've only given up more than two touchdowns. in one of those games. So, I mean, again, you're playing not elite teams. Kansas is thrown in there. But Oklahoma State was only able to put up 13. So that's my fear is, will Baylor be able to score enough? But, yeah, if you do want to bet on these games or any games, you want to go to betonline.ag. I am struggling so much today, Matt. It is embarrassing. But BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. In fact, as we just mentioned, as soon as we're done with this podcast, I'm going to go put a small wager on Devonta Smith to win the Heisman, because I'm sure BetOnline has some great numbers for me there. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today. We got college basketball just started up again. We've got the NBA around the corner, all types of exciting opportunities to bet. So head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BlueWire at betonline.ag. That's BlueWire, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let us get into our week 14 locks. Why don't you take it from here, my good man?
So I'll start it off with the one I already hinted at, Wisconsin minus 14 against Indiana. My biggest takeaway from this one is really the fact that Wisconsin's rushing attack is running at one of the weak areas of the Indiana defense. So even though Indiana has a defensive success rate of only 40.1%, they only stuff 13.6 yards per attempt, which is, I think, third lowest, I think is what I was the what I said. It's the third lowest in the country. And their defensive line yards, 3.344, is actually, bottom 10 in the country. So you're talking about a defense that, while they tend to like limit the 5 yards on first down or get to 70%, they're really not getting stops. And if Wisconsin is just going to keep going at them and going at them and going at them with this running game, I don't see a path to Wisconsin getting off the field. And Indiana without Michael Penix is such a huge question mark. If you were going to sit here and say that, okay, well, they'll just go a little bit more run heavy. They only have an offensive rushing success rate of 34.9%. They're stuffed on 20.8 and their line doesn't create enough yards. And while they only allow havoc on 14% of their plays, part of that is because Michael Penix just avoids tackles and doesn't give up the sack. And really, despite the fact that he's a little bit, I don't want to say errant in his throws, he really doesn't throw a lot of picks. So it's what we're getting from Indiana is just a massive question mark. And if you're looking for them to be able to put up 21 points and stay close in this game, I just don't see a path to it against maybe the best defense in the country. So it's going to be low scoring. It's going to be kind of ugly. But if honestly, would 17-0 shock you in this game?
No,
I don't think.
Yes, but I get your point.
That's where I'm at. It's like this game, even if Wisconsin's offense sucks, even if they're brutal, they were brutal against Northwestern, and they held Northwestern's offense to like sub 3 yards per play. I don't even see a path to this Indiana team averaging like over 4 yards a play. And if that's the case, I don't see a path.
Yeah. No, I like it. I mean, I like your reasoning. You made me much more hesitant because I felt like Indiana was a pretty safe bet until we started talking earlier. And I will not be playing this one because I'm very nervous about it. But that's because I went in leaning Indiana. So you make a good argument. Something I'm a little bit annoyed about is the opening number for the Texas A&M Auburn game was 3.5. And I'm just kicking myself for not taking it, because that seems like it would just be stupid easy money. But I still think the -7 is great value for Texas A&M. So I am locking them up at Auburn. I think Auburn, so let me say, this is more of a fade Auburn pick than a I love Texas A&M pick. I really think that Alabama game really broke whatever will was left for Auburn. I don't think they're going to be able to get up for this one. Bo Nix has been really underwhelming. I know he's still young. He's still an underclassman. And the future could still be bright for him, but it's not happening this week. I think Texas A&M ends up rolling in this one. Pretty easy victory. I think you said you wouldn't be surprised if it was a three-score game. I'm with you there. I think this is probably my safest bet of the week.
Yeah, that number looks silly to me.
Yeah, can you believe it opened at 3.5? Wow, where were we for that?
I live in Ohio. It's hard to bet here. I'd have to.
That's true.
I'm not thinking quick typically. All right, I'm going to go to a team that did me okay last week. And I, just for the reference sake for everyone, I have a lot of gut picks this week because I felt like I overthought a lot of things over the past couple of weeks. And I need to kind of go back to my gut. And I also didn't have a ton of time to prepare this week because I was just coming from a funeral. So here is my team that I now love that you hate. App State, Louisiana, over 51.5. S&P Plus has this game at 57. I think both of these offenses are pretty strong, and both of these teams are going to have a propensity to score points. So give me the over.
You know, I love when you take overs. I don't care what the teams are. That always makes me happy. I've got an over for you, too. We've already been talking about Jarrett. So give me the over in the Buffalo at Ohio game. These teams are too much fun right now from an offensive perspective. I like to go over to Odd Shark occasionally because they give you some fun like trends and stuff like that over the years, like what teams have done and all that kind of good stuff. And one of the things they have is like their predicted score, and they have this one to very comfortably go over. The number right now, the best I can see it is 58.5. And they're guessing it'll be closer to like 73. I know S&P Plus has this over 58.5 as well. So I really like it. I think these offenses are going to be able to move the ball pretty easily. And I think that 58 number is just fine with me. So give me Buffalo at Ohio over 58.5.
I love it, actually. Let's break your heart. Oregon minus 9.5 at Cal.
How is that breaking my heart?
You know why it's breaking your heart? Because you're going to get your hopes up because I picked it because I'm confident. So this is another one. It's a little bit of a gut play. I think that Oregon's run defense, while currently has a defensive success rate allowed of 47.9%, is a little bit fake. I think they played some good running backs and those good running backs exploited them. Here is why I think they'll be fine. Cal's offense is atrocious. So Cal actually is capable of running the ball. They have a success rate of 45.5%, but they're actually not running the ball enough, which is weird because I never say that about teams. They should run the ball more, but they're running the ball less than 50% of the time, despite the fact that their line is creating over 3.1 yards per carry. It's just, I don't know how Cal is going to be able to score, and their defense is also very bad. So this Oregon offense, which looks good, is going to put up a lot of points, and this Cal offense, which has been atrocious, is not. I think we see this be a little bit closer to two touchdowns. I don't love them. I mean, if it gets over 10, I don't love it, but under 10, I'm pretty confident in Oregon covering.
Yeah, I will not bet Oregon for a while. I find them such a difficult team to get a read on right now. I mean, I watch every snap. So, and I'm still kind of clueless, but I like where you're at. I actually had the Oregon game. I had the over on my card up until recently. I just took it off because no, it's because of what you said. Like your fear of what Cal can do offensively scares me a little bit. And if Cal can't score, if they're not going to keep up, I don't know how Oregon gets close to that 58 number. Their offense has been awesome, but they love to run the ball. And as we know, like if only one team's really running the ball successfully and other teams just out there not scoring any points, it's going to be hard to get to a huge number. So the reason I like the over is just because both these teams are in the bottom 100 in yards per play allowed. So they're really allowing the opposing teams to move the ball at will. I don't know. I'll think about it. The one I want to talk about though is the team that just beat Oregon, the Beavers, plus 11.5 at Utah, a Utah team that just let, as we mentioned earlier, a big lead slip through their fingers. I don't know. I don't really understand why this number is so high. 11.5 points. I'm sure I'm missing something. A lot of times when I see these numbers that are just like completely baffling to me, I end up like betting it pretty heavily and then losing. So I might be missing something here, but I just don't understand why Utah is being favored by 11.5. I know they're at home. I know there's elevation, but the Beavers, like you said, they've been a lot better than people expected. And I think they're going to be able to go out there, put up another good game and keep this one close. So give me Oregon State plus 11.5.
Well, we know I like the Beavers. They are the best team in the state of Oregon.
Shut your mouth. I will say they are 7-0 against the spread on the road. So in their last seven. So they've been doing well. I will say watch out because Gebbia, their quarterback, who is not their team, but he is he did get injured late in that game against Oregon. But to me, this game's all about Jefferson. So anyway, yes. Like,
is Jeremiah healthy? We're good. Yep. All right. So, you know, a team that I don't actually like as a program, Liberty. Hugh Freeze knows how to teach teams how to score points. I don't care that I don't like them. Liberty, Coastal Carolina over 53.5. These are two top 30 teams according to Offensive S&P Plus. This S&P Plus has this game over 60. They're going to be points here, and I'm going to take them.
I like it. I'm on this game as well. I've got Liberty plus 7 as my lock. Liberty has been fun. I mean, they've been 8-2 against the spread. I'm gonna take them to keep this one close. They've been, even their losses, they've been close. So give me Liberty plus 7. I agree that this is gonna be a really fun game. I like your play of the over as well. So if you can double dip in that one, if you can do like a little parlay with the Liberty plus 7 and over 53.5, I would lean that way too. So yeah, I'm on that game also. That's great.
Now I keep flipping back and forth between tabs and it's not helping. Here's one that's going to make you feel gross, because this game last year, we probably would have guessed it would have been like a total of 80 something. Alabama LSU under 68.5. So we've mentioned that Alabama's defense is actually kind of coming together. They're actually starting to play pretty well. They're holding teams to like no points. And if you're a bad offense, you're not coming away with more than 20 points. This is not a spot for LSU. LSU only scored 7 points against Texas A&M. They scored 27 against Arkansas, and that's the highlight. They only scored 11 points against an Auburn team that just let up 40-something to Alabama. The only fear here is how many points does Alabama feel like putting up on the board. Yes, LSU's defense is not great. Yes, I think that there's a chance Alabama can do whatever they want. But at the same time, I am banking on Alabama stopping when they get to like 48. And if that's the case, I don't see LSU getting to 20. And I think we will stay pretty comfortably underneath the 68.5 number. Quickly glancing because, well, I have that spreadsheet open. LSU, excuse me. Quickly. Yeah. S&P Plus has this game at 61.8. Yeah, we get it. We're getting a little bit of value here. I am taking an under and making you sad.
Yeah. Taking an under in an Alabama game would give me such intense heartburn that some indigestion, some sleeplessness. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it in good conscience. I could not do it. But what I will take, you know, you just mentioned S&P Plus. They've got Memphis actually favored as a better team traveling to Tulane. But if you're betting it, you can get plus 1.5 with Memphis. So I see a little bit of value there. I think I agree that Memphis is a live dog here. So Memphis plus 1.5. I'm going to lock that up. I feel pretty good about that one. In their last 10 meetings, Memphis is 9-1 against Tulane. So that makes me happy too. So give me Memphis plus the 1.5 points. Let's do it. More of the money is coming in on Tulane. I don't know why. I feel great about this one.
So I have to go back to Old Reliable here on this one. So what has been my favorite bet of the year?
Oh, man. Now you're Ohio asking me to State, remember something. Oh, yeah.
Ohio half-time. State minus 12.5 in the first half against Michigan State. I don't really know who's going to be on the field for Ohio State. I feel fairly confident that Justin Fields will be on the field against Michigan State. If Justin Fields is on the field, I am banking on Justin Fields being able to put up some points against Michigan State, because he's put up points against everyone. I still don't trust Ohio State in the second half of games. I don't necessarily think this is a spot where Ohio State is going to play flat, especially if we're looking at potentially some younger guys getting reps, some people who actually need playing time. I don't think it'll be flat, but I think Ohio State is up by more than 2 touchdowns at halftime.
Yeah, I like that. I could see that happening. Michigan State's been such a weird team this year. Like, either terrible or surprisingly good, considering their competition. But yeah, I don't think they can hang with Ohio State. I don't care who you have on the field. A game I like here, the numbers keeps moving in my direction, and that's Texas at Kansas State. The number's down to 7. I like Texas to win that game by more than a touchdown. Kansas State has really been kind of struggling as of late, as we know. They lost their quarterback, and since then it's not been quite as good. They're 1-4 in their last 5 games. Now they have been able to cover in a lot of those, but I don't think that they cover this one. I'm going to lay the 7 points with the Longhorns here. I think Ellinger has a good game, and Texas wins by 10. And I hate betting on Texas, by the way. But this number,
I was about to say,
too,
like,
too much value on,
like,
this one.
Have fun rooting against Texas last week. It was great.
Oh yeah, I know. What am I doing to myself?
I just threw this one on the card. So you know how we don't believe in momentum. We don't really like it's momentum can't be quantified and blah 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 blah.
Yes,
Penn State got it rolling. Penn State -11 against Rutgers.
So you're buying into the thing you don't believe in. I love it.
Some people, no, I don't. But I do think while I don't think there's such thing as momentum, I do think there's, at least in 2020, there's some narrative reason to believe that teams have quit and teams are throwing in the towel and teams that haven't. I think that that win last week gave players like Sean Clifford and Kayvon Lee and Keziah Holmes and Jahan Dotson and Parker Washington, who is a player that does not get mentioned enough. Parker Washington is special. I think that they are a substantially better team than Rutgers, and I think that they will be able to win this game by more than 2 touchdowns. And if that is the case, then give me them at -11 and they stop quitting.
Yeah, I like it. I've got one for you that makes me feel kind of queasy. That's Oklahoma State -2.5 at TCU. Horned Frogs had a nice win against Kansas, but they're not playing Kansas this week. They're playing the Cowboys. And Oklahoma State, I think they've really struggled. Like, they were doing so well early on this year. They've had a couple of rough ones, but they've also been playing a lot more difficult competition as of late. I don't think TCU qualifies as extremely tough competition. I think, you know, it's less than a field goal. I think Oklahoma State can absolutely cover that. So I'm laying the 2.5 with Oklahoma State. And this is another one of those numbers that kind of surprised me when I saw it. So I'm going to roll with it. And hopefully I'm smarter than everyone else. We'll see if that pans out.
You're
or not.
You're definitely smarter than everyone else.
Well, perfect. This one was funny. Like, going over to Odd Shark, they actually have TCU winning this game outright, and I definitely don't see that happening. So I like Oklahoma State to take care of business on the road. They're not great against the spread. They're only 3-5, but that's got to change, right?
Yeah, they're due.
Sure. They're due. Yeah. Numbers, we only use the numbers when they work out in our favor. So this is one that, you know, looking at some of the places where I do my research, I think Oklahoma State ends up winning this by about 4.5 or 5. So I take this, even if the line moves a little bit.
No, I don't hate that spot. As much as I think Oklahoma State was overrated early on in the year, I do think that I think they're a better team, and getting this game under a field goal means that you are, if they win, you're probably winning. So I think you're okay. I'm no reason to fight you on this one.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Do you have any more for us? I've got one more. So I didn't want to keep going. If you had another one you wanted to add to your card.
Yeah. Let me add this one, because I don't have any Mac on my card right now, and I feel bad about that. Central Michigan minus, well, let me see what number I can get it at right now, but I saw it at 1.5. Let's pull up the numbers. -1.5 against Ball State. I know you're asking yourself, Matt, why are you picking them? S&P Plus says the game should be 4. That's the whole reason, and I wanted this is a Mac game.
This is your fuck you game of the week, I'm guessing?
Yeah, but I don't actually hate Ball State.
No, but it's a who cares? Let's add another one to the card.
Well, so 86% of the money has come in on Central Michigan. I believe there was some sharp money that came in on it. It's just a spot where I think that Central Michigan is a pretty solid team this year, and I don't know. I like it.
I was hoping that your random game of the week was going to be Bowling Green, Akron, like two of the worst teams in all of college football, because I would be curious to see you were at on that one. But my last one is I'm taking the Hurricanes -15 at Duke. I think Miami can shut down that prolific offense that we saw last week that crushed your under. And I think Miami rolls pretty easily in this one. I'm hoping they get up for it. Miami can sometimes disappoint when you think they're going to come out rolling. But yeah, give me Miami -15. I don't have a whole lot of strong takes other than the fact that this was an S&P Plus special for me. I like the numbers that he had there. And
S&P Plus loves Miami every year.
Yeah, so let's go with it. That's my last one. It looks like you're adding another one.
Yeah, fuck you.
To your
you made me do this. You bullied me into this game. Bowling Green State University +2.5 at Akron. Akron is one of the two worst teams in all of college football. The other one is UMass.
And Bowling Green.
Yeah, Bowling Green might be third worst. Yeah, give me garbage. I love me some garbage games. Sharp money has come in on Bowling Green, and I will take that money.
Yeah, I actually, in our upsets, I actually have Bowling Green over Akron at +120. So I'm with you there. A quick aside, Bowling Green has a soft spot in my heart because one of my most epic NCAA football dynasties, I was Bowling Green, and Galen Duffy, a five-star dual threat quarterback, led them to numerous national championships. So Bowling Green forever, baby. That's it. What's your what are some of your upsets specials, or even if you just have one?
I mean, I'm writing one in now. It's cheating. It shouldn't be an upset, it absolutely should be an upset. But Liberty +325 against Coastal.
That's
Carolina.
A great number.
Yeah. I mean, you can shop around on money lines. We would always say go to Bet Online, but don't be afraid to go look at some other books just to see what you can get. And then I do have one other one. Nope, you already have that one on yours, and I'm not stealing it from you.
Which one? Which one was it? Because I've got Bowling Green over Akron at +120. I've got Oregon State to straight up beat Utah. I don't need those 11.5 points. Just give me money line +340. The Beavs get it done.
My other one is going to be Boston College over Virginia.
Yeah, +190. Do it. You can take that one.
I'm stealing that one from you, largely because I am a big Boston College fan this season because they steal good players from Ohio State. And yeah.
You like the jerk, huh?
Yeah. I don't like Virginia, and I like rooting against Virginia.
Those are all very good reasons. Well, I love it. That's good stuff. Let's go over the locks real quick. I'll go over mine and then you go over yours. I've got Texas A&M -7 at Auburn. I've got Buffalo at Ohio over 58.5. I've got Oregon State +11.5 at Utah. Liberty +7 at Coastal Carolina. Memphis +1.5 at Tulane. Wow, I have more dogs this week than probably ever. Three dogs this week. That is so unlike me. I've got Texas. Yeah, I've got Texas -7 at K-State. Oklahoma State -2.5 at TCU, and Miami -15 at Duke. I've got all road teams, couple of favorites, couple of dogs, and a little overaction because that's how I roll. What you got on your card, Matt?
I've got Wisconsin -14 against Indiana. Ohio State -12.5 in the first half against Michigan State. Alabama and LSU under 68.5. App State and Louisiana over 51.5. Oregon -9.5 at Cal. Liberty and Coastal Carolina over 53.5. Penn State -11 against Rutgers. Central Michigan -1.5 against Ball State. And Bowling Green State University +2.5 at Akron.
You need to start doing the reads. That was fantastic.
Every once in a while, I'm fine.
that was really, really good.
For the upsets of the week, really, back Liberty is going to be a fun team to back this week there. Even though I hate everything about the school and everything about the program, they have Malik Willis, who is a really good quarterback, and I think he's going to make that game really fun. And then Boston College, watch out for Zay Flowers and Jalen Gill to get loose against this Virginia team.
Yeah. My upsets are Bowling Green over Akron and Oregon State at Utah. That one's plus 340. So you get some nice monies there. That's good stuff, man. I'm really excited. I do appreciate that every time you mentioned Liberty, you went on to throw out a half dozen caveats. That's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I don't think anyone disagrees. That's good stuff. I'm excited for some football. I need it, man. It's been cold out here in Denver, Boulder area. It was like 13 degrees today. I need something to keep me entertained while I am sitting by the fire. So I'm ready for some football. It's going to be a great week. I'm hoping we don't see any more postponements and cancellations. This could be a lot of fun. Do you have anything you'd like to leave our good listeners with, Matt, before we take off?
Bye, Chris Olave and Kayvon.
Man, you went an hour and 20 minutes without mentioning the great Chris Olave's name, but I'm glad to hear you do it now. Thanks again, everyone. Have a great week. We'll be back with you next week.
So, Stefan, you and I always typically get on Twitter immediately following recording the show. And so there's some rumors heavily floating out there that I just sent along to you. And I know it maybe was floating around all day. But so it seems like Liberty might be having a coronavirus outbreak and is unlikely to be playing Coastal Carolina. And it looks like it might be BYU instead. So I hope you enjoyed all my shots at Liberty.
Absolutely.
I still feel that way. If Liberty does manage to play this game this weekend, everything I said about that game, I still am on that side. But with the news that BYU and Coastal Carolina is out there, I do think we should at least talk about that game being really fun. It's a matchup of two undefeated, they're not independent, but non-Power 5 programs. And yeah, I mean, I'm more excited for that game than Liberty and Coastal Carolina. And I was pretty darn excited about Liberty and Coastal Carolina. So I won't have any plays on that game, obviously, because, well, we have no idea what the lines are going to be because the game isn't official yet. But if so, I'm saying I would probably like BYU in that game up to 14 and a half ish.
Oh, that's interesting. I was going to say 13 and a half. So I think we're pretty close there.
So good game. Everyone be excited if that game does happen. We didn't break it, but we made a point of coming back and giving you guys some extra fun to the podcast because we care about you.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks again, guys.
Bye, Chris Olave.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.